everyone, and welcome to this month's podcast. You know, we've been talking about talking to people who have an impact on our daily lives, and for this month I decided to speak to the ladies of Mkopa. So I'm delighted to have with me Kageni Bugu, who's the Director of Compliance, and Anne and Evelyn, Anne Ruka, Evelyn Manese, who are both in Head of Commercial and Legal. And what I want to do is have a conversation about how Mkopa functions as a company. It's been listed as one of the Times 100 most influential companies in 2024, and to understand how it works and how these ladies function in their daily role. So Kageni, very nice to meet you. You're the first one. The first question is to you. How did you get into law? Why did you want to be a lawyer? Did you want to be a lawyer?
I think I had three choices when I was growing up. And those three choices were study law, be a lawyer, or go to law school. So it was like from the get-go, I knew I was
you always wanted. Where did the inspiration spark from?
I can't even tell you where it came from, because I can't even remember as far back as when I was like 8 years or 9 years. Like, I was very clear I'm going to study law. And so when I did get my high school certificate and I had passed, it was just a no-brainer. I didn't apply for any second course. It was just law to all the campuses that I applied
to. Amazing, because there are very few people who are exactly where they want to be in life, but you definitely are.
Yeah.
And what about
you? So my answer is different from Kageni's. I found myself in law. I never chose law, it chose me. And I guess for me, it was forms were brought to me and I was told sign here, I signed there. Then one day I'm told, let's go to campus. I found myself in law school, and 4 years later I was a lawyer.
Yeah.
And yeah, and
But you don't regret it at all.
No.
And Evelyn?
Just like Anne's story, I didn't want to be a lawyer initially. I wanted to be a journalist or an air hostess. So at that period of going to collect forms, and like and forms weren't brought to me, I was told to do the tracking. So went and picked those forms, brought them to my dad. My dad was like, okay, this is nice. These are okay professions. However, can we explore something in law? And I was like, okay. And also my teachers had actually talked to my dad and were like, as Evelyn is looking for something to do, we really think she could really have a good career in law because of some of the characters and attributes she presents. So yeah, that's where we ended in law. Don't regret it so far.
No, you're doing well. All of you are doing excellently. When we all started in law, there wasn't the concept of working in a fintech company.
Yeah.
But so for those who don't know, what does Mkopa do, Evelyn? Maybe you can.
So Mkopa is a fintech company that puts products in underbanked customers' hands by allowing them to basically make first installment payments, and then they build ownership over time through micro payments. And this is helping the financial divide, because we know that the modern financing basically has a lot of requirements, and therefore we are piercing through that by enabling that our customers are able to have access to life-enhancing products through a business model. Yeah.
I mean, so the impact cannot be underestimated, especially for people who can't get financing very easily. Also, its ability to have ownership after a certain period of time. So that, you know, is crucial. But the concept of a fintech company, or a fintech, sorry, lawyer, Anne, did you think that that would be what you do?
No.
What you would do?
No, mm-hmm. never. Because my earlier profession, actually, I was...
Where we met.
I was actually a banking and finance lawyer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there is no way I would have known that I'd end up at Mkopa.
Mm-hmm.
But since I've gotten here, I'd say I've had opportunities to do things beyond what I've ever thought I would do and learn new things, which I think has been fantastic.
Yeah. Kageni, really. What about you? For you, you wanted to be a lawyer. I'm sure in your mind, was it like LA Law or, you know, what was it called? Ali McBeal at the time. Was that the type of lawyer that you thought you'd be? Probably not sitting in a fintech, right?
Well, I never thought I'd actually even been in-house, let alone even be in a fintech.
Yeah.
So when I started my career in law, I think my first thought was going to become a company secretary. I even did a master's degree in corporate governance that I do not use.
I know.
Very, very odd master's that I did. And then I came to Kenya. I went to Kenya School of Law and I did pupillage. But I was working before I went to Kenya School of Law, all throughout Kenya School of Law and afterwards.
In a law firm?
In a law firm. Yeah. So In that law firm, I really got attracted to dispute resolution, you know, court work.
And I think anyone who knows you would say dispute resolution. Yeah.
In fact, when I came to MCOPA, there's a specific person, I won't name them, who was almost having an intervention. So I started in dispute resolution and I really liked the work. I enjoyed the work. I mean, over a period of time, I think it was just to explore different things. And so when the opportunity at MCOPA came, I decided to join MCOPA. I mean, at the time, it wasn't even regarded as a who knew even what fintech was at that particular time. And so it's something that is a concept that has grown. So for me, I had always thought I was going to stay in dispute resolution for as long as I could. But no, I mean, life takes its own turnings. Mm. Yeah.
And what about you, Evelyn?
Yeah, as Kageni has mentioned, like fintech is actually a sort of like new-ish term. And so for me, I always knew I'm going to get stuck doing the traditional type of legal work. But fintech has exposed us to a lot. Literally, there's no dull day in MCOPA. There's constantly something very new that you need to learn, something very interesting that you need to understand. And so I really embrace that and I love it here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What would you say is the key to being an excellent fintech lawyer then for all of you? Because it's a different type of practice. Mm-hmm. It's understanding different concepts. What makes you an excellent lawyer?
So for me, I think the question I would answer is what makes me an excellent lawyer and not really a fintech lawyer? Because I don't know how to put that barrier, yeah. But for me, I think it would be, for one, I can say adaptability, because we service a lot of markets and a lot of issues come up from those markets.
Yeah.
And we only have a few days or sometimes a few hours to get to the program because there's a fire burning and it needs to be put out. Mm. So that's, we've learned to be adaptable.
Yeah.
I think the only thing I would add to that would be, and it's not necessarily something with respect to just fintech, but anybody who's working in-house. And I'd say a deep appreciation of the business is critical for you to be able to serve your customers. Because as an in-house counsel, your customers are business units. So when you understand the business well enough, you're then in a position to serve it. So in my case, I've been in MCOPA for now, this is my 9th year. And all throughout that journey, I have gone to the field. I've seen how customers are onboarded. I've sat with customer care agents. I've sat with, you know, telesales agents who are, you know, selling upgrade products. You learn so much of what the business does, such that then you have the ability to link one thing here to a problem there, to one person here. If you're struggling with an issue and I'm like, why are you struggling? And so has already catered to this by doing ABCD, talk to them. And so your appreciating, you as a person understanding the business is critical for the delivery of the services that you're going to do.
The other aspect, Evelyn, is that you guys are, MCOPA is a Pan-African company. It's not just in Kenya.
Yeah.
So you're actually servicing different jurisdictions with different needs.
Yeah.
How do you meet that demand?
Yeah. So in that question, that's a good question, Jerry. And a lot, we are currently in 5 markets. We are in Kenya, we are in Nigeria, we are in South Africa, we are in Ghana, and we are in Uganda. And so cross-border transactions and management is difficult, but it's very key because there's market nuances, there's cultural differences. Another thing that we found out is product specification. A product that is doing well in Kenya is not necessarily the same product that will do well in Uganda. And so that has also been some of the things that we need to balance out as a business. Another key thing being a Pan-African company is strategic thinking. You need to also be able to balance the local needs with bigger picture goals, you know? So that has been some of the things that we need to interplay because of the company that we serve.
Yeah. And I guess it's also keeping the fact that the customer is at the forefront of your mind every single day.
Yeah.
You recently achieved 5 million customers. I saw that in the news.
Mm-hmm.
How do you make sure that you're meeting every single customer's need? Because every one of them wants to be treated as if they're, even I want to be treated especially. So how do you make sure that you're meeting that?
Well, MCOPA has a customer-centric model. Yeah, which is basically we're inclusive, we are flexible, and we promote progress.
Yeah.
So in terms of inclusivity, so we'll give you a product, we won't ask for collateral. Your only collateral will be the product you're buying. We do not ask for guarantees. Yeah. Then in terms of flexibility, we allow you to lipa pole pole.
Yeah.
So you make micro payments.
Do you have different tariffs for how do you organize that? Do you choose how you repay as a customer or
It's dependent on the market. Okay. Yeah. So in some markets, there would be options to be able to pay maybe weekly, monthly, again, to what Evelyn said, you have to go into a market and then understand what the needs of that market would apply. In Kenya, due to the penetration of mobile money, there is the ability to make payments per day.
Okay.
So if at all you choose today, you want to make payments for 7 days, that's fine. But you have the ability to make a payment every single day for your product.
And what are the assets that are being loaned? Is it phones? What else is there?
So at the moment we have mobile phones.
Yeah.
And then separately we also have electric motorbikes.
Oh, okay, fine. Yes. So those are the two types. Cool.
But in that, we also have additional products that you get as a customer. And I think it goes to the element of progress that I was going to touch on.
Yeah.
That once you're a customer with us, you're sort of, remember, you've come to be a customer of Mkopa without basically us needing the credit history.
Correct.
But you coming in as a customer of Mkopa, you're slowly, through your daily and monthly payments, whatever the payment plan is, you're building a credit history with us. So if your credit history is good, then you're basically eligible to additional products. Some of them being insurance. So you can get insurance, you get data bundles. So those are almost additional offerings that we do give to our customers as well.
Getting into the, sorry, go ahead.
And most importantly, cash loans.
Yes.
Cash loans as well.
Yes. Yeah.
The interesting thing about the credit history piece is that you have data on your customers. Are you leveraging that data by selling it to third parties or not?
No.
Okay. Because you know there's a model where you can collect the data and then sell it. Someone else can use that credit history for another
purpose. No, we don't do that.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, cool. All right. Fine. Tell me, what does your day-to-day look like?
Who wants to go first?
All of this.
You'll be got in Mkopa when you joined Mkopa is, Mkopa, you don't hit the ground running. You run and then you fly. Then you find the ground again.
Yeah.
Because things go very quickly in Mkopa.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not easy for us to explain our day to day. Because in a day I will have done so many things. But I'll speak for myself. So I get to deal with the debt financing. So if you're doing financing, I'll review those documents.
Yeah, I mean, and I saw the financing that Mkopa got. I mean, that was a huge, transaction. Congratulations on that. That's amazing. I mean, that's international type work. Yeah?
Yes, right, yes. Amazing. So those are the things we do. So I also handle consumer protection and I also do commercial law. I review contracts. So it just depends on what the needs are for that day.
Kageni?
On my part, first of all, Anne, I think you're shy to say that they actually won an award.
Oh, you did? What was the award?
Deal of the Year.
Yes. Amazing. From the Africa Legal Awards. Yes. Amazing. Yes. Congratulations, Anne. You know, I didn't even realize. Congratulations. That's amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, we are truly proud of the work she does because I wouldn't be able to manage a fraction of what she does. So on my part, I manage licensing, permits, conditions for licensing and permits, policies, drafting, reviewing, training, sensitization. I also do investor relations, employment advisory, as well as environmental health and safety. So as you can imagine, in 5 markets, it could be a range of everything that is on that list. It could be, approving maybe some difficult licensing requirements that we need to make sure we put in our application properly, regulatory inquiries that maybe a regulator wants to ask about, maybe, the way regulators just generally come into the organization to confirm the manner in which you're conducting your business. It could be advising on a licensing condition, someone asking you, is this something that is allowed and permitted under our license for us to do? It could be advising on a dispute resolution somewhere in a different market.
Yeah.
I failed to mention dispute resolution is still with me. I never ran away from it, so I still manage that in Mkopa, and I think I get my dose of what you said, my personality, everybody would say I'd be in dispute resolution. So it could be a variety of all those things, and even reviewing and approving policies.
Mm-hmm.
So it varies, and it's just that idea of what is urgent, what can you delegate, what can you then also outsource to partners
mm-hmm.
to be able to assist you
yeah.
to manage.
Yeah. Evelyn, as you're the newcomer, right?
No,
I'm the newcomer.
Oh, you're the
yes.
newcomer. Well,
how
do you organize yourself? You know, the other interesting thing, because now as you're talking, it means that you have had to have had experience in all of these different aspects, commercial law, environmental law, dispute resolution, before you can even now start thinking about being in-house, because you are grabbing from every single portal
yeah.
of information that you have. How do you organize your day? What is your remit?
So to answer first of the question of how my day looks like, just like how they've answered, it's not a structured day. I cannot remember the day my day went as planned. You leave the house, you're driving through Riverside, you get a call, and you already know that your day has taken a different tangent. But we love it.
Even
and,
today.
Even today. And actually,
yeah.
I know that another thing, working in a fintech, and I think you had asked, is also being very open-minded.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're in a field that is very dynamic and very fast-paced, and it's ever evolving. And so if you're very stuck in how you're thinking or how you're structured to work, you won't really thrive. So for me, my day-to-day is typically would be reviewing and drafting contracts, sitting in calls with some of our stakeholders, sitting in leadership meetings and advising on legal aspects, just to mention a few. I particularly manage the phones portfolio of the business, and phones is actually the key product.
You were talking about going to the factory, and you guys are starting to make your own phones.
Yes. Yes, we have started to make our own phones. Actually, we have currently 3 million, I think, locally
wow.
manufactured devices.
Wow.
So that's amazing. And so to your second part of the question about you need to have had experience, trust me, I did not have anything. Because my background, I was in M&A. I was basically commercial. But the type of work that you're doing now in the phones business, I'm not discussing matters with MNOs. I'm not discussing matters with OEMs, ODMs. Some of those terms are just like, okay, like you get a brief and you're like, okay, where do we start? We
yeah.
start with...
What is an OEM?
You first start with like breathing in, then now go into the thick of things. But you learn pretty fast. And I think once you get the concepts of things, then it's almost just an application that you just need to do. So in managing my day, I try to stick with a to-do list. I write in red. I literally write them in different colors. 3 things in red, and those are the key things for the day.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else can go into whatever direction it
yeah.
will go, but these 3 things will have to get done. So I think that has sort of helped me put some stability, and also carving out quiet time in my diary. And yeah, just focusing, putting my head down.
From what I can tell from working with you guys,
yeah.
the relationship that you have is really good, because you guys can bolster each other up. It's very important to work in an environment where you feel like you're synchronized. The other thing I would say is that the impact that MCOPA has on the daily lives and employment in the loans itself and etc. cannot be underestimated. Do you realize that, or are you so?
No,
yeah?
no, we do, because even with the thing about MCOPA, yes, I'm in legal, but there are days when we actually leave the safety of our desks and actually go out there and see what we are doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, Evelyn goes to the factory. There are people in the factory that we need to take care of, yeah? So we go and we talk to them.
Yeah.
And we ask them, so how do we make whatever it is better? We go to the customers. Customer, what do you need? Fine, we're giving you a phone, we're giving you a cash loan. What else do you need?
Mm.
Yeah, and we see if you can plug in.
Mm.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, sorry, you want to say something?
Yes, I don't think we're far removed from the impact, Jerry. In fact, I was looking at the impact report for 2024. I hope, have you read it? You should. You should.
Gosh!
Yes.
I feel bad, I haven't read it all completely yet. So.
Yeah, but like the numbers are phenomenal. And I remember I was definitely in the company last year when the impact report was coming, and I did a LinkedIn post and I was just mentioning some of the numbers. And looking at those numbers again, I am mind blown. Like we have unlocked, I think, 1.5 1.5 billion in credit.
Oh my gosh.
We have 23 million customers who we have touched indirectly. We have 45% of our customers who are accessing a mobile device for the first time.
Oh my gosh.
These are figures and numbers that are honestly so humbling. Mm-hmm. And then you also just realize about the impact that you're not... You're literally just a small part in the whole process,
yeah.
And therefore you lead also with humility, which is actually one of our core goals.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, so I don't think we're far removed from it. If anything, we at a time where there's no better time to be an MCorp, to be honest. We are really proud
honest,
of the work
we can really see the impact, especially the, and also the type of work that you guys are doing.
Yeah.
Again, let's talk about, you know, regulatory challenges. We know that we work in an environment that's heavily regulated.
Mm-hmm.
How does MCorp deal with that, and then also how do you try and make it your work more efficient when dealing with regulatory challenges?
So I joined MCorp when we were three markets,
mm-hmm.
Kenya, Uganda and Tanzania, and we ceased operations in Tanzania. We are now in the five markets that Evelyn has mentioned. I think what I have learned, what I've learned about what we can do is when we enter a new market, is actually enter first of all with a very open mind.
Mm-hmm.
The assumption that whatever works in Kenya will work in another market should completely go out of the window. And you actually approach with humility of like, please take me to school, right? You have a variety of, you know, over a period of time, you have a variety of questions you would generally be asked by your business units. And so you put that in terms of questions you'd hope to be answered when you get law firms. So the first thing is when you approach a market is just approach it from a very blank space,
mm-hmm.
of just recognizing that the licensing and permits, for example, that you get in Kenya for the same businesses, operations will not be the same in any other market. The second thing is obviously new laws are a huge challenge. Making sure that you're up to date with those new laws. I think in Kenya, we have the luxury of EKLR that has the ability for you to go and assess the full options of laws and everything. And I think we are spoiled. We are spoiled in Kenya, but, you know, in other markets, you know, it's not always the same. And so you leverage on third party platforms that, you know, provide you with the full fleet of legal provisions within the country, advisory related to those laws, as well as any sort of newsletters that they have within their platform. And then finally, you just have to surround yourself with very, very good law firms with different...
I'm surprised you're here.
Very, very good law firms that, you know, like, you know, we have top five things that we will always need to get advice on.
Mm-hmm.
Employment is, like for me, employment is number one. For Evelyn will be things like competition. And so just making sure we are sourcing law firms that are, you know, experts in these specific industries that we require help in.
Yeah.
And I think that's just how you manage current, existing, and also possibly new laws that will be introduced.
I think, again, it's been modest. When we entered the South African market, I must say we were humbled.
Yeah.
Mm. We were completely humbled because the laws in South Africa is a whole different animal.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
And even for us to get into that market, there was so much we needed to learn.
Mm.
Kageni can tell us, she was in the thick of things.
Yeah.
She's just here smiling. She's in the thick of things. Yeah. So with the NCR and all those other regulators, they've really humbled as completely very different from Kenya.
From Kenya.
But also Nigeria,
right?
Nigeria was also a humbling experience.
Mm.
You know, you hear about things that you would not have to deal with here. And the best example I'd give you is Area Boys. I don't know whether you're familiar
area
with
boys.
Area Boys.
Yeah, I've heard that concept.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're sitting
they
there.
Run
they run the streets and you're like, who are Area Boys? What is this? And so you have, and also like Evelyn mentioned, culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go into a culture and, you know, even though you have the expertise, you have the knowledge, you've been in the organization for a while, you still need to approach people with an element of humility for them not to feel that they're being imposed on, and they're capable of sharing information to enable you to achieve what you need to achieve. So culture is very different when you're dealing with people from one side to another. It requires a lot of tact. You know, and I think one thing I need to mention is that the way MCOPA is structured, for example, in the legal department, if you're responsible for something, you get responsibility for it globally.
Okay, so
whatever I'm talking about from an employment perspective, if I manage employment, I'll be managing employment in all the markets that we are in. And that gives you an opportunity to explore things that you would never have thought you would be able to experience in terms of a legal expertise, right? So, you know, Evelyn will tell you, even with her competition work, she's writing letters to the Nigerian Communications Commission to make sure that whatever work she's doing is being regulated appropriately there. So it's just also the exposure of what we get at MCOPA, but also the expectations that we then have to step up to when you then join the firm.
No, but I think that's an experience you will never get an opportunity to do in a typical law firm. Yeah. So I think that's something extremely special. But Evelyn, let's talk about the impact, and also for globally, the impact of the riots in Kenya. And you guys are dealing with electric motorbikes, you're dealing with mobile phones, you're dealing with the customers who are at the lower end of the economic scale.
Yeah.
How did that impact your business? What were your thoughts about around dealing with your customers in that environment?
Very good question, but I'd like to direct that to the expert, because it was front row in the thick of things. So tell I think she better take that question.
I did mention environmental health and safety at some point. Yeah. So I think, you know, we are very high on employee safety, first of all. And so Maandamano is a very, very huge threat to our employee safety, particularly just being able to get into the shop and getting out of the shop is a huge factor. So the biggest impact has been to our shops to be able to open and to close. In some instances, we are able to get into the shop, and then afterwards, we have to actually get security to escort our employees home because of just the safety. I'm sure you saw some of the violence that was actually around Maandamano. And it's not just this specific Maandamano, it's any Maandamano that we have. And so the second thing with customers, I think, you know, we have the ability to communicate through messages. Although what we saw within the Maandamano period is also a lot of customers who are not willing to get out of their house to come to our shops. So the foot flow was not as high. The second impact would be for our warehouse, which would have similar challenges of how do you get into the warehouse and get out of the warehouse safely. I think, you know, for us, our philosophy on safety of employees is very, very high. We do not want our employees being put in danger as a result of our business operations.
But did it affect repayment rates during that period, or it didn't affect?
I think there would be, I wouldn't be the expert to able to comment on that, based on that's generally more on a credit perspective. But when you think about the type of customers that we deal with, the underbanked and the and finance, most of them are daily earners.
Yeah.
And any impact to their daily earning could have an impact on the payments.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't want to sit here and say for a fact that, you know, there was a dent or whatever, but I would say that it would not surprise me if there was some impact to some of our customers due to their inability to earn money due to the Maandamano.
And so looking to the future now, what is the next frontier, Evelyn? What is the next frontier for you guys?
Expansion.
Yeah. Where? Can you tell us?
No.
You said that too rapidly.
No. It's just, we want to grow as a company, you know. Grow out through, no, what's the phrase? Our seeds, to throw our seeds around the world and let them grow. So there are plans of expansion, but all in good time.
Okay.
I think there's also Second Life, I think, maybe Evelyn.
Yeah, Second, it's something we're currently doing, and it's, yeah, in the phones portfolio where we are not just selling new devices. We basically are also looking into refurbished devices,
oh, cool.
which also speaks a lot to our green element of things. So that's also something that we're doing as Ncopa. Again, something that we are literally looking to pick up. This
where are you getting the refurbished? Where are you getting the phones from?
So we're actually getting the phones back from our
customers. And then refurbishing them.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that anything that comes back to our customer, maybe something that we cannot fix, something that maybe had an issue, then that forms part of our refurbished pool, and therefore we can sell it to refurbished devices.
Yeah, I mean, the manufacturing aspect, the fact that you're creating, not
yeah.
just learning,
mm.
I think
yes.
is a differentiator for you guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also, exactly. you know, we have a policy when if you're not in a position to pay, you can return
your
device.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So those
yeah.
kind
yeah.
of
yeah.
devices
yeah.
form
yeah.
part of our refurbished pool.
Yeah.
So we're not wasting any. Tried.
Evelyn, you have really advertised this company.
I'm wondering whether you're in the right department.
So let's talk about what has been your highest high as you've been in Copa. Each of you can tell us.
Highest high.
I guess
at
maybe
Mkopa.
The award.
Deal of the year.
Deal of the year, yeah. That's
yeah.
it. You still need an
email.
Yeah,
I don't need
an email.
I mean, I've had some good highs in Mkopa. I think the unfortunately, I can't go into details of one of my best moments, but there was this dispute resolution case back to the heart of my
yeah.
origins that made me like work 14 days straight. And when we won that case, I think I was just
elated.
I was so elated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Evelyn?
I think a high for me, for the company that also has affected me, is again the impact we've been able to achieve. Looking at it, it's almost like you're driving and you're like, you can speak. And that's why maybe I speak so passionately about the company. So that's a high for me. But also, I think how personally my career has grown
mm.
since I joined Mkopa, and seeing that it's not necessarily been a long time,
mm.
I think that has been a proud achievement for me.
I mean,
but actually,
yeah.
a second high was just
mm.
how we worked with employees during COVID.
Yeah.
I think that impact was tremendous for even after COVID, I'd go into interviews and I'd be like, why have you chosen to apply to Mkopa? And repeatedly I'll hear people like, you guys stood by your employees
mm.
during COVID.
Mm.
And even our sales agents who are not direct employees, if they got COVID, they, you know, and they were at a certain level, we'll just tell them, you know what, stay home and we'll pay you an average of your commissions. And, you know, at least you're not thinking of going out there to
mm.
actually sell because you of loss of income.
Mm.
So there was a lot of work and effort. Again, like I said, our health and safety for our employees was
mm.
very, very high.
And just to add on that initiative that was also we should be proud of is when the flooding happened.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
And literally we had employees come in, show up, donate, contribute, and we had the management team sort of like support, and we went to like the affected areas
yeah.
and offered a hand. So I think those values really
mm-hmm.
speak to employees more than actually companies think they
yeah,
do.
Yeah, but that also
yeah.
went beyond employees.
Yeah.
Because
yes,
I think we also helped DSRs.
Correct,
yeah.
exactly.
Yeah.
Sales,
so
agents.
Sales
agents.
Sales
agents,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So.
I think, to be honest, even with the riots, we've seen that companies can make or break their name.
Yeah.
Depending on
exactly.
how they
exactly.
Exactly.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
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 Okay. Now, we want to go into tips and tricks. Since you're all senior lawyers,
mm-hmm.
we need to give advice to our younger selves.
Hey.
Tips and tricks for working well. Okay. What advice would you give to anyone looking to go into fintech or to join a fintech business? I think it would be you need to be in practice first.
I think there's a huge, huge benefit in being in
yes.
practice first.
Yeah.
I think the training that you get in practice, whatever aspect of it it is, like you can hear all of us came from very different backgrounds
yeah.
and we're doing different things in Mkopa. So for you know, banking and financing, mergers and acquisitions, and for me, dispute resolution. So whatever industry you're in that moment is just immersing yourself in it, getting as much knowledge as possible
mm-hmm.
and being an expert in it, and then opening your mind up
yeah.
if you go to somewhere else.
Yeah.
But that's not my tip.
What is your tip?
My tip is I have never seen any relationship that has not been tremendously improved by self-awareness. And, you know, the ability to know yourself, your strengths, your weaknesses, what you like, what you don't like, will take you very far. So such that you're not put in environments that you know you don't like, you can't perform, and then you start questioning yourself as to whether or not you actually deserve to be there. I tell Anne every day that I am happy she's in MCOPA, like constantly. Like, yes. I just tell her, your work I would never do. And even how she tells me the work I do, she does not want to touch. And that's just a full appreciation that I'm not less than because I can't do her work. And she's not less than because she can't do my work.
That is a great tip. You just need to know your strengths and play to them.
And accept yourself the way you are. Like the way you keep on telling me that everybody who knows me knows I'm in dispute resolution. There was no way I was going to survive in mergers and acquisition or banking. It was just never going to happen. So, yeah, that would be my tip.
I think a tip that would link to what she's saying, for me, it was just going to be keep an open mind. But also something that has just come to mind is as much, and I think I'd use this joining MCOPA, if I was really sticking to the strengths or what I thought I knew, I honestly wouldn't be here. So whilst it's very good advice and it's 100% correct, I think there's also that room for saying, I am not good at this yet. I am still learning. There's still still a very steep learning curve because the learning curve is really huge, but it's possible. So keep an open mind and it's possible.
And maybe to add on what Evelyn is saying, our growth took time, so you have to be patient. Nowadays, we find young lawyers in a hurry to make $1 million. You can't make $1 million with 1 month's practice. You have to do your time. So do your time, learn all that you can, and just perfect the skill to make yourself marketable.
Gosh, that's such a good tip. And I think we see that a lot with the younger generation. How do you manage your work-life balance? I mean, Anne, you know where we were before. there was a hint of a life.
Yes, there was a hint of a life. So for me, the one thing that MCOPA has given me that I'll always be grateful for is flexibility. Yeah. So we have the work from home culture and... basically, you're in control of your calendar.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I never knew I could be in control of my calendar. I didn't know the concept of blocking out time, the concept of, you called it what, focus time?
Yeah.
I only learned that when I was in MCOPA.
Yeah.
But the flexibility in MCOPA has helped me focus, you know? So I know there's time to work. And this time I'll need 1 hour to run, go pick my kids. Nobody will look for you. Nobody will stress you.
Yeah.
And when you come back, you continue, you pick up.
Yeah.
So that flexibility has been really awesome.
I mean, that's you're very lucky. And I think we are all lucky to benefit from COVID, that the working from home model. But you guys are not forcing people
also,
to come back
but
to office.
The working from home also takes discipline, right? You have to be disciplined enough to know that, yes, I am working from home, but this is my employer's time. I cannot sit at home, watch TV the whole day, and expect your contracts to review themselves in miraculously.
You guys are not forcing people to come back to the office like Amazon.
No, we have a hybrid model. And it seems to work. Everybody in MCOPA, let me tell you, it's a different breed of people. People are so, we are, what's the word?
I think what it is
discipline.
I think you're impassioned to work, and you really want to.
You want to work because we do make a difference with the work that we do.
I think it's about the culture, to be honest. I think that's what maybe what it is. Because when you guys, when I see you guys and interact, you really are pushing for the company, and I think that's a great thing.
And I think also, to Anne's example, is that respect of sort of like the work boundaries you put, and it's. Because I remember for the longest time, literally in the team, people know that you cannot schedule a call with Anne between, is it 11? What time do you do the pickups?
Last year it was 2:45 to 3:30.
And the fact that that's her personal reason, but it's being used at work as something like, we can't schedule this, Anne, and Anne can't miss this call, therefore let's look for another time.
We are moving the call.
It's,
Jerry, that would never happen.
That would never happen.
That would never happen.
To be honest, that would never happen. You would be told as in, on whose time.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that
so it's giving you that, because it then gives you peace of mind. Yeah. Because, okay, people have the options of I'll hire a driver, I'll get somebody to do it. But for me, that's the time I have with them to ask them, how was school? Did anyone bully you today? You know, because sometimes if you know with kids, they forget what they want to tell you by the time they get home. Yeah. So I, for me, that it just, amazing. Yeah. So amazing. That I appreciate. Yeah.
Kageni, you, any other tips that you have for young lawyers?
I know, I think I have exhausted my list.
Okay, let's do the quick fire round and then I can let you guys go back to your work. I'll just do one each, right? Beach or city holiday?
Beach.
Where?
I like southern coast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Favorite place to visit?
Cape Town.
Really?
Oh, me too. Cape Town. Yeah.
Apple or orange?
Apple. Please.
Pizza topping of choice?
Prosciutto and rocket.
That was so quick, Anne.
I can't because it's obvious. I love it.
Prosciutto and rocket. Okay.
Yeah.
From where, by the way?
I like Mambo Italia.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not really a fan of pizza, but I think I really am of the concept of pineapples should be on top of pizza.
So. I'm also on that concept. Yeah. Favorite drink?
Wine, Riesling, Moscato. Do you have some for this? Do I get some after this?
You know, the bad ask, is this supposed to be non-alcoholic, alcoholic? I don't know. But yeah. I actually like water for non-alcoholic, but I'm happy to, you know, join Anne's.
As in, butter. Water is your favorite drink?
Yeah, I drink it. This is the most drink I drink during the day.
Okay.
So, but
so
then...
what do you drink at night?
Exactly.
Thank you, Anne.
Yeah. So, but then I was going to say, but I join Anne's bandwagon.
Which one?
Wine.
Which type?
Red.
What type?
Medium bodied. I don't like too dry. I don't like sweet.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Evelyn?
Freshly squeezed tangerine juice.
Yeah. Tangerine?
Yeah.
That's very specific.
You're making me look like a...
let's continue. There's no judgment. You guys, thank you so much. You've been amazing guests. I think we've learned a lot about Inkopa. We've learned about the impact that you guys are making in the country and also in Africa. You guys are an excellent representation of the company. And congratulations on your award. And you know, it's really nice to see you in this place. Because honestly, it was not working. So I'm really glad to see you in this space.
But thank you for having us also. Right?
No, Kageni and Evelyn, thank you so much for joining. You guys, it's been Mkopa, the ladies.
Yes.
We'll see you next month.
See you.
Bye.